Congregation, let us begin this worship service with singing Psalm 359, the stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Unless the Lord the house shall build, the weary builders toil in vain. Unless the Lord the city shield, the guards a useless watch maintain. 1, 2, and 3 of 359. The reading of God's holy word for this evening you can find in the book of the Psalms, and therefore Psalm 103. But first, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe a holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We mention to you Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who giveth all thine iniquities, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemed thy life from destruction, who crowned thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfied thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his way unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, and neither will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Like a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his day are as grass, as the flower of the field, so he flourished. For the wind passeth over, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. The Lord has prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his, that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works, in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul.
Our help and our expectation is in the name of the Lord, who has made the heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Let us try to ask the Lord for his indispensable blessing. Merciful, a most holy, long-suffering, a most righteous Lord, when in the evening of this thy Sabbath day we may have another opportunity to be under thy precious word and eternal testimony. for the third time an opportunity in this thy day to hear what thou hast to say unto us. Or wilt thou then humble us under thy mighty hand? And wilt thou then grant unto each and every one of us that we truly may be given to see whom thou art and who we are, that there may truly be born in our life a seeking for the Lord, a missing of him and asking for him, that there may be no rest nor peace until it may be found outside of self, indeed the only true God, and Christ whom thou hast sent. For thou hast said, Lord, that is life eternal. Or by nature we think that we can always stay on earth. We know that one day we will have to die, but we think it is always for someone else. But Lord, how true it is. All people must die. Young people must die as well. And there is not one age that is skipped when it comes down to the cold hand of death. And yet we are still in the land of the living, where others in the midst of the congregation are grieving and mourning because of the loss of a dear husband and father and grandfather and great-grandfather. Where we have seen it in this morning, in our mother congregation of Norwich, that one generation goes and a great grandchild was baptized. O Lord, teach thou us to number our days, not our years, but our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom, and that also we, young or in the strength of our life, may learn how frail we are. For the strongest one is but vanity. And Lord, wilt thou then bind upon our heart that we all that we must die, but cannot die as we are born, that the rest may be cancelled, that rest nor peace be found in the heart, but a sigh be born, O Lord, my Maker, think on me. O Lord, have mercy on me according to thy loving kindness. O Lord, visit me in thy long sufferings and mercy. And Lord, then thou knowest what each and every one of us stands in need of, from the youngest to the oldest, in the midst of the congregation and this branch here in Cortland, those listening along at home, and those here in thy house. O Lord, may it be good under thy word, that we may receive the opening of ears and hearts, and thy servant the opening of his mouth, that we may receive that which we cannot miss. Be it well, for the time and for never ending eternity. Remember our children, young, the prime of their life. And many say you are but young one time. And Lord, Satan knows that as well. And therefore he does everything to draw our youth away. But wilt thou be pleased to draw them with cords of love, of loving kindness, that thy love may be poured in their heart, and that desire may be born, like as an Obadiah, who was given to testify on good grounds that he fears the Lord from his very youth. O Lord, there is nothing better than the fear of the Lord that is clean, a fountain of serene. O may it be given unto our children, to our dear young friends, but also to adults and elderly. For what is the prime of natural life is also true spiritual. And thou givest life unto a soul, then the spiritual youth is born. Oh, may there then be born in Zion, out of whose mouth may be heard the cry of hunger, the cry of grief, the cry in their misery, the cry for deliverance, that thou wouldest have mercy upon them, according to thy loving kindness. And also in the life of thy children, O Lord, who may not deny that that has been in the past, but must say maybe, it is so quiet, days without number. There is so little in experience. O Lord, that they may ask that their youth may be renewed, like as the eagles. Thou remember thy people. May they be given to look away from self and world. And to the hills do I lift mine eyes. Whence shall help for me arise? That he has a servant watching his master's hand, and a handmaiden by their mistress stand, to the Lord their eyes may raise. And to whom shall we go? It is all in thee, and there is nothing in self. But I remember the entire congregation, the needy, the sick, the afflicted, the ones in hospital, the ones in care homes and places of mercy, with all those who may care for them, frontline workers, nurses, PSWs, volunteers. In this time full of tension, Oh, we look unto thee, asking for help, but also asking that these callings and these judgments may be used as a means in thy hand. For thou hast sent the judgments upon the world, that we may turn unto thee. But Lord, if that is not the fruit, if we only reason and argue the consequences of sin away, then we can only await worse judgments. But thou hast said in thy word, when my people shall know themselves guilty, then I will remember my covenant. Lord, wilt thou then help, and wilt thou then strengthen? Help thy servant. Give him what he stands in need of. He's a man as all others are, dependent on thee. One who has nothing of self, who cannot do it. But this morning, but Lord, thou hast so much in store. Thou art a never-emptying fountain. And therefore we look unto thee. Lay the words in the mouth, the subject in the heart, and the thoughts in the mind, that it be good in thy house. Also in this evening, remember all the labors that are awaiting thy blessing. We beseech thee, Lord, in the midst of the congregation, the house visitations, the pastoral visits, the catechism classes, all those that may bow over thy word, that these labors may be blessed by thy Spirit. The labors in the mission field with the entire team and the mission board. O Lord, we beseech thee, grant thy help from the sanctuary. With the labors among Israel, may those be uncovered, and the cover be taken from their countenance, that they may see that Jesus of Nazareth is truly the promised Messiah. Bless the labors in our school community. Grant wisdom unto the school board, and to the administration in the daily operations, and to the teachers that may teach from day to day such a precious work, dealing with the souls, not always easy. And yet, Lord, we look unto thee for help, that the labors be not in vain, but that there may be sent arrows out of thy quiver in the hearts of our dear young friends and children, and that children may be born in Zion, and the purpose of a Christian school will be fulfilled. Remember our government in these difficult days. There are so many criticized, and it is never good enough. May there be prayer for those that are called to rule. But Lord, will thou grant unto themselves a prayer as well, that they may look unto thee for wisdom. Send thy light and truth to be there and our guide. Also for this evening, that this hour may turn to thy honor and to thy glory. There are no reasons in us. We have sinned it all away. But Lord, there are reasons to more indeed. Take reasons out of thyself and eternal love, that it be true, like as a father pitieth his children. So the Lord pities them and looks upon them that fear his name. We beseech all these things in the name and for the sake of Christ alone. Amen. We will sing together from Psalter 415, the stanzas 3 and 4. Call to mind, O Lord Jehovah, tender mercies manifold, and thy store of loving kindness which has ever be of old. Sins of youth remember not, nor recall my hidden transgression. For thy goodness' sake, O God, think of me in thy compassion. And what follows in the stanzas 3 and 4 of 415. God's word, beloved congregation, is full of similarities, full of pictures, images taken out of nature and pointing to spiritual things. Only in the psalm we have read this evening, you find a number of them. Let's mention one. Verse 13, like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. We can easily understand what that is. Like as a father pitieth his children. No, that does not mean that a father spares his children from the rod and never looks sour at them like an Eli did with Hophni and Phinehas. But as a father pitieth his children, there you see the tender love a father has for all his children dear. And those children are still small. A baby. And a father bows himself over the cradle to look at his child, the newborn child. How can then sometimes the heart be filled with tender love? When a father looks at his child when it grows up, and is still so dependent, when the father can take his child along when it can walk. Are you going with me? I have to pick something up. And the child being so dependent. And the father can pity his child. And when a child grows up and becomes more independent and needs to be guided and to be led by his father, then that father doesn't say, and now they have to figure it out themselves. No. As a father pitieth his children. Now, and then David may say, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. So the Lord pitieth his spiritual children. Those that have received that childlike fear, not a slavish fear, being scared for hell and the consequences of sin, not a fear as of a slave, not a fear as of a servant who wants to fear his father, the Lord, who wants to fear the Lord to receive heaven. No, a childlike fear. So the Lord, the triune God, looketh upon them that fear his name. Are they found in Cortland? Are they among our children? That when sometimes the Psalter is sung, who is he that fears Jehovah? May say in their heart, Lord, may I be such a one. And from our older ones, who is he that fears Jehovah? Lord, may I receive that childlike fear. And may I become a child of thee. Then it will be noticed in our heart. Then it will be noticed in our life. How are they? Who are they? Well, that is what we want to consider. With the help of the Lord and awaiting his blessing, God's word for this evening can be found in our scripture reading, Psalm 103, when there offers 5, the last part. So that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. And actually we want to consider only the words, thy youth. And if the Lord may spare us another time, we hope then to see how that the Lord then renews the youth like as the eagles. So only the words, thy youth. That's at the same time what we write under this text, thy youth. Or you may also say the biblical youth. That is in the first place a natural youth. And secondly, a spiritual youth. So the biblical youth, that points to the natural youth, and that points to the spiritual youth. There is, beloved congregation, not one psalm in the Bible, or God's children have received instruction out of it. Now that's now exactly why the book of the Psalm is called the spiritual pharmacy of God's church. They read about themselves in the Psalms. And in the Psalms you may look in the heart of God's children. There is not one frame in the life of God's children. Or it is explained in the book of the Psalms. There can be times in the life of God's children that they have experienced something and that they start wondering because they are attacked by the devil and they say, probably that is not even according to God's word what I have experienced. And then they may open God's word and then they read a psalm and then they may, when the Lord sends a little light upon it, then they may say, and I'm not the only one to experience that. That's what our fathers always said. When you have experienced something, ask the Lord if you may find a fellow struggler in the Bible who has experienced the same thing. But that's also the case with Psalm 103, a psalm of David. We know there are different psalms, different poets who wrote the psalms. Some psalms are written by Solomon, some psalms written by Asaph, and some by Haman, and even one by Moses, a prayer of Moses, the man of God. But most of the psalms are written by David, the man after God's heart. We also know that there are in the book of the Psalms different kind of psalms. Some psalms are called the penitential psalms, 7 in number, who cry out of the depth, a guilty sinner made guilty before the Lord, crying for mercy, experiencing his sins. Other psalms are psalms of prayer that ask for guidance and to be led in the everlasting ways. Other psalms are made amidst of the temptation. Other psalms. Now there are different psalms. But there are also psalms of joy and songs of praise. Psalm 103 is one of them. A psalm to glorify the Lord and to praise his name. That's why it begins that way. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is in within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And it ends with that. Bless the Lord, ye his angels. Bless the Lord, all ye his hosts. Bless the Lord, all his works in all the places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. 7 times we read it. The fullness for every day of the week. 1. Because that's how the Lord has created us. Hellebroek says that one of his first questions in his question book, why has now the Lord created us? Well, to honor and to glorify his name. And yet it might seem remarkable that David seems to begin and to end with himself, because he says it twice at the beginning and he says it at the end. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul. The congregation, when we consider those words closely, then we see that David is here not speaking in pride. It's not about himself. It's not that he be blessed. No, he says, bless the Lord. He has to say, encourages, even stronger, he urges his soul to bless the Lord, to acknowledge the Lord. It means to glorify the Lord for whom he is and what he has given unto his heart. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Because David knew how ungrateful he was by nature. What a thankless thanksgiver he is by nature. And therefore, as an ungrateful one in himself, he needed to be urged and encouraged to, and not in himself, but in the Lord, and to not forget all his benefits, the benefits in natural life and the benefits in spiritual life. Because it is the Lord who gave them unto David, and who gives them unto his children. So this is a song of praise. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And congregation, let's now not think that this is suspicious. Oh, I know we live in confusing times. We live in times that many seem to jump with a big stick over their misery and the necessity of deliverance, and they start with thankfulness and gratitude, and they can bless and they can glorify and they can honor, and they seem to be able to praise all the time. The congregation, there is in our day and age also another type of people that in their outward religious piety can talk so piously, and it's all to praise and glorify God's name. No, no, we are not able to do that. And if someone on good grounds may at moments do that, then they seem and look at that as if that is very suspicious, because that's what they say, you don't hear that in this time anymore. Oh no, has the Lord and so little in store, congregation, that he cannot teach the same what he taught unto David, that he cannot teach that unto his children in our days. I fear, congregation, that those that are in the one end of the spectrum and those in the other end of the spectrum have never ever learned their own sin and misery, have never ever learned to ask for deliverance, have never ever learned what is grace in their heart, have never ever been found as a broken one upon their knees. Oh, I know we will never be able to bless the Lord's name if we not first have learned how great our sin and misery are, and how we be delivered from that. If we not first have learned to sigh unto the Lord, O God, my Maker, think on me. And that when the Lord is over and speaks unto the heart, makes room for Christ and opens their eyes for him who is altogether lovely and precious. But when that may happen, then there are also those times that they may sing unto the honor of God's name. Now, such a psalm is now Psalm 103. And congregation, you won't doubt with me, eh? That when we read this psalm, that we can say that David had a good ground to bless the Lord's name. And that was on a solid foundation. He even explains it. Why does he now bless the Lord's name? To not forget all his benefits. What were then those spiritual benefits David has received? Well, he says it, who forgiveth thine iniquities? Most important in our life, be it well for time and eternity. David doesn't begin with the benefits in nature. No, he begins with the benefits for the soul. Because Saul saved everything saved, but Saul lost everything lost. Who healeth all thy diseases, spiritual and natural. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction when they are in so many dangers. Who, the Lord, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. The Lord, who satisfieth thy youth with good, thy mouth with good things. And as it is actually written in the Hebrew, the original language. Who reneweth thy youth like the eagles. Many godly explainers, they think that when David wrote this psalm, the Lord had delivered him from a terrible disease, a disease that had brought him nigh to death and the grave. But that David was now given to speak about the benefit that the Lord has healed his diseases and has renewed his strength made perfect in David's bodily weakness, and has renewed his strength as like as the eagles. That could be, we don't know. But one thing is for sure, David is not only and even not in the first place speaking about the natural youth. No, he is speaking about what the Lord does in the spiritual youth. What is now the youth? What is now understood with the word youth? Now the word youth points to those that are young. Now when you look that up in your concordance, you see that the Bible speaks 69 times about the youth. And when the Bible speaks about the youth, and then we think usually the youth, that is the age about 14, 16, 18, maybe 20 years, 14 till 20, that's the youth. But the biblical word for youth is a little wider. It actually speaks about the very youth from the early childhood till the time that the youth becomes an adult. Thy youth. And when you look that up in your concordance, you will see that the Bible speaks about the youth both in a positive way as well in a serious and warning way. What is now the youth? Now, if you would ask a number of people what is the youth, then we all have our own opinion. And then people from church life, they can say, oh, the youth, that is such a terrible age. Because in the days of the youth, and for sure in the year we live now, in 2020, then there are so many dangers, and it may be true, but those dangers are not less when you're an adult, right? And what did Paul tell his spiritual son, Timothy, when he was young? He said, let no one despise thy youth. Now, if you now would ask people from the world, what is the youth? Now, the world knows the answer. They say, those that have the youth have the future. Oh, that's also true. Because the youth of today has to form the church of tomorrow. Have you ever thought it that way, my dear children? And it is true, those that have the youth have the future. But the devil knows that as well. And therefore the devil, he is busy, not so much with the old and cold people, but with the young ones that are still impressionable. Because the devil knows when I have them, if I have them when they are young, then they are spoiled for the future. Then I can maybe draw them away from the truth and maybe draw them away from the church and let them live themselves out in the world and in sin. And maybe they become indifferent. Maybe they will sit outwardly still in church, but for the rest, it goes the one ear in and the other ear out, or it doesn't even go in the ear because we sleep or we think about all other things. The devil knows too that those that have the youth have the future. Yeah, the world says, and therefore you are but one time young. Now let's enjoy the youth a little bit. Let us eat and drink and be happy. And there are many that do that literally. They drink the world in like water. There are many that drink more alcohol than water. Yeah. You don't find them in the NRC, right? Oh, would that be true? I fear sometimes the opposite. Many that say you have the youth, so seize the day, carpe diem, enjoy your life, because before you know, you're old. Tell me, my dear young friends, who tells you that you will become old? Right? Who tells you, who guarantees you that you will become old? Many, they say, well, don't bother so much about death and eternity, about heaven and hell. Don't bother, don't think so much about conversion and about the Bible. That's for old people. That's for later. Who tells you that there will come a later? That girl in Alberta last Sunday. That was on Sunday, she was in church 2 weeks ago. And how little she had known that Monday morning she went to her work and there was some black ice on the road and she started slipping and she hit a milk truck and it was eternity. Who thought that that boy from our denomination in the Netherlands last Friday night when he went out with his friend and they came back on Saturday morning at 1 o'clock, that they would end against a tree. And the driver survived. And the passenger died. And walk one day on a cemetery and look at the ages engraved on the stones. You will see not one age is skipped. The world can tell a lot of things. And the devil can say lots of things, but he is the liar of the beginning. He says later. But the Bible says today. If you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. Because if you want to serve the world, you lose, you spoil the prime of your life, the best time of your life. It's not for nothing that the Bible urges us to seek the Lord in the day of our youth and to say, knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Seek, and you shall find. Because it is so often true. The older, humanly speaking, the older, the colder about those things. And you may seek the Lord when you are young. That keeps from many sins. Oh, when the Lord converts, and when you are a little older and he is able to. And he is the same yesterday and today and forever. And I hope to come back to that. But When the Lord converts when you are a little older, how many have to sing and to say and to weep with David. Sin of youth, remember not, nor recall my hidden transgression. For thy goodness sake, O Lord, think on me in thy compassion. And yet the youth is such a beautiful time. You know what the Bible compares the youth with? The childhood. The Bible compares that with the springtime. Solomon speaks about that in the Song of Solomon, the springtime. Now the Amish, the old, the Mennonites, they do kind of the same, right? When their youth is a little bit in the youth age, then they have a few years that they are allowed to, they call that roomspringen. Now you hear the word spring. Jump around, it means literally. You can taste a little of the world. And when they then get a little older to settle down and they make a well-known choice to stay with the older Mennonites, the Amish, and get baptized and kind of do confession that way. Yeah, it's not also rosy either, because the devil, he has drawn many also from them already away in the world. The youth, we said, the youth in the Bible is from the childhood, the early childhood till the adulthood. So there are different stages in the youth. Even the children know that. Can a baby talk when he's born? No, he can only cry. Can he eat potatoes already? No, he can only drink milk. He can cry and then. He makes himself dirty all the time. And he can sleep. And then that little child grows a bit. They still have little concerns. Little children, little worries, we say sometimes. A hand of a child can be quickly filled. Sometimes you give the child a present. He unwraps the present. Throws the present aside and plays with the box and with the wrapping paper. A little child can be so happy, so joyful. They are always busy. There is so much zeal in a little child. And sometimes you hear it and you go on baby visits and you see one of the other siblings and they say, oh, he's now always running around until he goes to bed. Child has moments of grief. It can happen that for a little child, when they are in a mourning process, they stand beside the casket of a deceased grandfather, grandmother, or parent, and they cry. And a moment later, they are happy again and they play with the toys. It's a child. A child is one that is trusting his father and his mother. And when children talk together, the one says, yeah, but my father, my mother, my teacher, they boast in them. A child is dependent. A child is affectionate. They love the parents and they are so dependent. And when they need something, they run to their father and they run to their mother. Child loves to sing. Go to school. And then even in church, right? When you announce a psalter, the children know. They sometimes look at the pulpit whether the minister sees them sing. Oh, they can sing so nicely. Yeah, those older children and the youth, right? They seem sometimes to think that's not cool to sing. Yeah, except when it is the pop music from the world. Man, then they scream. The throat out almost. Then they know it all. But when it's about the psalms and the psalters, there are from the youth and even from the parents, they mumble a little bit. You see the lips hardly not move and they don't sing along. And what if you do not sing along at this side of the grave? What do you think then to do in heaven? What you want to do in heaven? If you don't want to sing here below, because in heaven they always sing.
Always God's people. Always sing to the honor and the glory of God. Or maybe consider that for a moment. What's now the childhood? What's now the youth? We say with the Bible that is the prime of life. How many have died in their youth already? How many? I don't need to say so much. We all know them. Whose place is not found among us anymore. Solomon, he says it, Job, he says it in Job 26, they die in their youth. And their life is among the unclean. Huh? Old people must die. Young people must die as well. We sometimes say old people must die, young people can die. Actually, that's not correct. Young people must die as well. And then they can die. Also when they are in their youth, in their childhood. And my dear young friends, have you ever considered the question, what then? Where will you be if this, like that girl from Alberta, from our denomination, when this is your last time in church? And when your body has been buried next Sunday, where will you be? And you may believe from me, my dear young friends, that sometimes I am so scared that I have to bow my knees for my dear youth, that the Lord will not do with them according to their sins. Where will you be then? Maybe someone of you knows a Bible text of what Solomon says in Ecclesiastes 11 verse 9. And they say, yeah, but minister, wait a moment. We read even in the Bible that there is written, rejoice, O young man, in thy youth. And let thy heart cheer thyself in thy youth. And walk in the ways of thine heart and in the sight of thine eyes, so I may enjoy my life. Well, my dear young friend, don't take a text out of its context. And I ask you, read a little further, because the sentence is not done yet. There comes something behind it. And then Solomon says, but know thou that for all these things the Lord will bring thee in judgment. So it's kind of a cynical. He's kind of mocking with those that say, enjoy the world, seize the day, let eat and drink and be happy. And he says, do you see how serious life is? And Solomon, he says in that same chapter, one text further, he also makes the conclusion, but the childhood and the youth are vanity. No, not he is not putting down our dear young friends, but he points to the responsibility. The youth is vanity, he says. And actually he wants to say, consider a little that before you know, the time of the youth is over. The time of the youth is a preparation time for the adulthood and for the time that there come more concerns. And when you are an adult, before you know, you are old. And when you are old, before you know, it is eternity. If it's not cut off halfway. And that's now exactly what the devil wants. Later, you are too young. He says, first you are too young. And then he says, you are too busy. And then you are too caring for your family. And then, yeah, but you are too busy with your grandchildren if you may receive them. And then you are too busy with your health. First do this. And then, and there comes a day, it will
be heard too late. See? That's why. And as Solomon, he goes a little further in the Ecclesiastes. And he starts a new chapter. And he says to our dear youth and to each of us, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. While the evil days come not, and the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in it. And when old people, as sometimes you meet them, oh, they are so busy with the struggles of their life and the loss of mental, emotional capacity that when you talk to them, it doesn't even sink in anymore. The Bible says not when you are old is the best time. That's what the devil says. The Bible says when you are young is the best time. And Paul, he says the same unto his spiritual son, Timothy. Flee youthful lusts. And follow righteousness and faith and love and peace with all those that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. That's so necessary. And that's also possible. You don't hear too much about it anymore. You know why that is? Now maybe one of the reasons why that is that when the Lord now starts working in the life of a young friend or an older one, then they don't blast that abroad. They hide that a little bit. They don't want to talk about it so much. Because God's people might think something of them, and they have nothing, and they are nothing, and they have nothing. But yeah, when that happens, you see them listen with different ears, and they get a hunger, and they receive a thirst. But maybe, and then we go to sing, but maybe one thing more. Maybe someone of you said, but I don't even recognize myself in that what's said about the youth. Because I always go to church and I love to be in church. And I love to be in a Christian school. And I always read my Bible. And I always bow my knees. Good. Keep doing that. But don't boast on it. Don't think that is enough. Because then, yeah, your picture is also in the Bible. There was a man in the Bible. He was a young man. And we call him sometimes a rich young man. And he said exactly the same to the Lord. All these things have I done from my youth. I have not lived myself out in sin. I did not drink the world in like water. I did not go to drinking parties. And then Jesus said, but you are still missing the one thing needful. And what is that? That is the spiritual youth. Let's sing first. 428. How blessed are the perfect in the way, who walking in Jehovah's law with pleasure, preserve their piety from day to day. 1 and 3. now see, beloved congregation, how necessary it is that we receive the spiritual youth. Because how are we now born? Are we now born as a blank sheet of paper? Some philosophers have said. No, the Bible says we are conceived and born in sin. And we need to be born again. So once born is still lost. Twice born is saved. That's necessary because we have lost that spiritual youth in paradise, there where the Lord has made us good and after his image. But there was always the spiritual youth in dependency on the Lord, being affectionate on the Lord, asking for the Lord in the fear of his name. And all my soul, bless the Lord, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. That was the life of Adam and Eve in paradise. And thus it would have stayed if they would have continued to be obedient. But what has now happened? We willingly and purposefully have inclined our ear to the prince of darkness, the father of all lies, and we have lost that spiritual youth when we have eaten from the forbidden fruit and were by the Lord sent forth out of paradise. And since our deep fall congregation, we are created to live, but we are born to die. Yeah, literally it is still true. You are but one time young. But then the Bible says that time of the youth is the prime time to seek the Lord. When children are still impressionable. For impressions in their life. You know what is our life by nature? The Lord did say that not too long after the fall in paradise. You can find that in Genesis 8 verse 21. When the Lord spoke to Noah, about whom we also read that he walked with the Lord. Then the Lord said in Genesis 8 verse 21. For the imagination of the heart of man is evil from his very youth. And there you see that the youth is already a word that points to the very youth from a little child. We can easily see that. I hope at least that our fathers do not teach their children to be nasty, and that our mothers do not teach their children to lie. Right? Their imagination, the thoughts of their heart, is evil from the very youth. It is already. That's the way we are born. It's in us and it comes out. That is our life. So it's so clear that we are not born as a blank sheet of paper. No, from our very youth, we are evil, born in sin, David had experienced. And the Lord desires truth within. Oh, how is that now possible? For if now the Lord would do with us according to what we deserve, then he would have cast us away in outer darkness where there is weeping and crying and gnashing of teeth and pain and destruction. Oh, how is it now possible? Well, we read in the text that the Lord renews the youth. So the Lord gives that new life. The Lord makes his children to be born in Zion. How is that possible, you say? For such a one as I am. Now the secret is in the name of the Lord. All capital letters. That name that the Lord made known unto Moses by the burning bush. I am that I am.
the Lord with capital letters always says it's the triune God, the Father who in the stillness of eternity has opened the way that sinners can receive the spiritual youth. And that asks that question, but how shall that now happen? Whom shall I now send to obey for my children and to carry away the wrath of God? When Christ said, I come to do thy will. And the Lord Jesus, children, is also born as the very youth, as a little child. And we read of him that he was always obedient unto his father and to his mother and unto Joseph. And he was 12. Oh, by us, that's so often the age that our children think, and they come a bit in the puberty and then they think that they all know it themselves. And they don't need those old folks like the parents and the teachers anymore. But the Lord Jesus, when he went with them from the temple, we read it, and he was obedient unto them. And he bare the disobedience of his people. He was crucified for that. He was even convicted of sin. No one could convince him of sin, because he had never done sin. But the Jews and the Romans, they convicted him of sin, and they cast him out, and they crucified him. But there he said, it is finished. There lies now the secret that he renews their youth like as the eagles, by his word and spirit. And oh, I wish and pray that in the life of old and young, the Lord will give that spiritual youth. That there may be among us who may say it in the dark days of the wicked King Ahab and his wife Jezebel. That's the days we live in too. But there were also 7,000 that did not bow their knees for Baal. And there was one of them, his name was Obadiah. That means servant of the Lord. And he was in truth. And he said, I, thy servant, fear the Lord for my very youth. I hope that there may be found such one in our midst. What is now better than to fear the Lord when you are young? That keeps from many sins, from indifference, from worldliness. No, I won't say they never fall in it, they never stumble. But it keeps from the thought you've time enough later. Because when the Lord works, then he binds upon the heart. Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. And when the Lord renews a person, gives them a new heart, the spiritual youth starts, no matter what age they are. There was a man, he was 84 years. I told it this morning in Norwich too. He was 84 years, and they asked him, how old are you? And he said, I'm 4 years old. I'm still young. You're 4 years old, but you're gray and you walk with a cane. You are not 4 years. Yeah, he said, I'm born 4 years ago. Then is when the Lord gave me that new life. Born in Zion. And when the Lord gives that new life, then the characteristics of that new life come out. Then their eyes are opened. And oh, they learn to see themselves and before the holy and righteous and good, doing a merciful Lord. Then they say with Haman in Psalm 88, I am ready to die from my very youth. He saw the danger. I must die and I cannot die. Oh, how can I ever be saved? They fell at the feet of the Lord, like as a publican. They smite the breast. They say, Lord, have mercy on me. They are born. They receive the spiritual youth. What age they are in nature, the Lord gives his children the spiritual youth. It doesn't start in the life of God's children with the old age in grace. Because then Isaac could rightly ask, how is it that you have found this so quickly? Starts at the beginning. I've never seen a baby that could say, dad and mom. I've never seen a little baby in a cradle with a beard. You? Now, it seems that there are nowadays quite a few spiritually. But then we can easily figure out there's something totally wrong there. Starts at the beginning. There are similarities in nature and in spirit. When the Lord gives that spiritual youth, it starts with, you're like a baby born. They cry. They sigh. They can only make themselves dirty because of sin. And our young mothers, they know that, right? Sometimes they have just cleaned a diaper and given a new diaper. It was all dirty. And 2 minutes later, they can start all over. Now, that's now exactly what the Lord teaches his people. I can only make myself dirty time and again. But, oh, those little children, they have such a first love. God's children have a first love that's poured out in their heart. And there comes a change of heart and a change of life. There comes a love for his house and for his word and for his people and for his service. They say with Ruth, thy people, my people, thy God, my God. No, Ruth did not even know about Boaz. Ruth did not even know about the Savior. Ruth did not even know about the sin. But one thing she knew, Naomi had something she was missing. A little child has still little cares. They are still so affectionate, we said. And they are so tender. They can be found close to the mother. And when the mother, when the child can just walk, and mother leaves the room, the child starts, oh, that goes after the mother. That needs to be where the mother is. Now, spiritually, when it's standard the same, Lord, it is so quiet in my life. Where art thou now? And they start crying for the Lord. Little children do not yet see so many mountains in their life. The children in grace, they have moments that they may say, Lord, with thee I jump over a mountain and I go through a multitude. That they may say in the love, who can now separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ? Little children can be so happy and so full of joy. And in one moment they cry. Another moment they can be happy. We said it. Now spiritually the same. Because the Lord is no land of outer darkness. And those first time when it is so tender. When they come under God's word. Then it seems there is always a little instruction for them. Always the Lord speaks. Always. Ah, when you sometimes look back to that. Where is now the time of the olden days? Where has that now been? And when they open the Bible and the daily meditation at night, and it seems to be a little instruction for them. There may be moments that their heart overwhelms and their mouth may overflow. That is what Solomon said, the springtime in spiritual life, so tender, so affectionate. Yeah, and then there come further leadings because the first love seems to go away and the Lord comes for his image and he says, pay me what thou owest. That must be paid. I cannot meet the Lord as I am born. And the hand goes upon the mouth. The Lord strips them from what has been. And there comes a question, has that now ever been true? Lord, see if there is a wicked way and lead me on the way everlasting. Then there comes a time that they must say, Lord, if thou shouldest mark iniquity, who can stand? That there is now nothing left. You can sometimes think that with the beginning, with the first love, we can so go to heaven so quickly and easily. And the Lord, he comes for his image and he says, no, you need a Savior for your soul. Thy youth. I go a little back. Because that Savior for the soul, that renewal of the youth, we hope to see that the next time, the Lord willing, another time. As a little child can be so thankful with a little piece of wrapping paper, with an empty box. As God's children can be so grateful when the Lord shows knows about them, and they may speak with God's children, and they may hear something, and they may hear their name in God's word. And when they ask, and the Lord hears the sigh, and they may experience that the Lord answers their prayer. Spiritual youth, so tender, it makes them going. There are times that they may read and hear what the Lord had given them. That's an encouraging. There are also times that they hear what they still miss. And that humbles them. That makes them go, Lord, has it ever been true? Ah, lead me on the way everlasting. May I be given to know thee and to follow on to know thee. Spiritual childhood. And they may speak with the more experienced ones. They can just say to one another, I'm so jealous of you as such a child. They can say to an experienced one in grace, I'm jealous of you because you have experienced so much that I miss. And then the older one in grace says to a child in grace, no, I'm jealous of you, you know what, why? Because it's still so tender in your life. And oh, I'm longing back for those days. You recognize that people of the Lord? And then the one call makes the other to glow. And then the heart can melt and they are longing to be led further. Thy youth, the youth spiritually, just as in age, there is so much zeal. They're always busy. A child can always play now. Spiritually, there is a zeal. In the life of Ruth, we see that when she was led to the field of Boaz, you know, then we read that she stayed very little home. Then it says she tarried a little in the house. She was full of zeal. And among the disciples, there were also that were full of zeal. Some of them were even called Boanerges, sons of thunder. So full of zeal they were. Wasn't always the right zeal. But there was a zeal for the Lord. And that people that is won over, oh, that has a zeal to read God's word, that has a longing to be further instructed. Thy youth. And as the children like to sing, God's people in that first time of grace have a desire to sing. Because the psalms, they intend the honor of the Lord. And the psalms, they explain what is in their heart. The psalms, oh, there is something in. Of which they experience the Lord knows exactly what goes on in my heart. You see what a blessed time. Even when there are difficulties in their life. Paul and Silas, and they were scourged, and they were in prison. And they sang to the honor. They didn't complain. They did not mock, no, they sang. And David, in difficult times, he was given to sing. Now we have to finish, I see. Thy youth. The children cannot always stay children, right? They have to be led further. Children grow to independency when they leave the parental home and they get married themselves or when they go and live on their own in due time. They have to grow. And then it is needed that the youth is renewed. Spiritually the same. We touch on it, we leave it. Next time, the Lord willing, another time. Needs to be renewed because of sin and worldliness and remaining sin and oh, it can be so dark and there can be backsliding in their life. They need to be renewed. You see, congregation, that it is a wonder if you may know about spiritual youth. And it is a double wonder when you may know about the spiritual youth in your young age. Because there can come a time that you may say with David in Psalm 71, and you look back. God's children may sometimes look back to what the Lord has done. And then they may say with David, Thou art my hope, O Lord, and Thou art my trust from my youth. David knew that when he was young, the Lord had worked in his life. And he was He was leading the sheep of his father Jesse, and he was taking the harp and he was singing already. The Lord is my shepherd. That was not just a cheap talk. That was experienced in his life. And then he says in that same Psalm 71, thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto I declare thy works. And yeah, then it was true when I was a child, I spoke as a child. When a child starts talking like an old man, you say, well, act normal. Spiritually, it's not different. The youth in grace may sometimes testify according to what they have learned. Now, we close. The world says you are one time young. But they draw the wrong conclusion and therefore enjoy your youth. The Bible says that's right, you are but one time young, and therefore seek the Lord when you are young. And even when you're older and you must still say I'm unconverted, then that can still happen, because the Lord still gives the spiritual youth. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. May I ask you, how old are you? Spiritually, or are you not born yet? Are you still dead in sins and trespasses? Make haste for your life's sake. How old are you, people of the Lord? Maybe a little longer on the way and still not coming further like a little baby. Oh, that we then ask, Lord, may I be led a little further. Guide me and lead me. It's all in the beginning here, but one day forever. Then they may sing, for A is tender mercies. Then they may bless the Lord, who all their needs supplieth with good. Their mouth satisfieth, and their youth renews. Then they are in the eternal spiritual youth, glorifying, singing his name. And one time more, God's people does not a strange work in heaven. What they may do there, they have learned here. Amen. Almighty Lord, what a wonder. One word. So much instruction. Sanctify it, Lord. We acknowledge thee for thy help shown this evening. Be thee after preach and go with us the week which we've entered in. Help us strengthen in all labors. Look upon us in mercy. We ask, keep us from sin and a sudden death. May we be born in Zion to a spiritual youth. For Christ's sake we ask. Amen. 444. Stanza 2. O bless the Lord, who all thy needs supplieth, thy soul with good. He fully satisfieth, and like the eagles he renews thy youth. And what follows?
Receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.